Psalm 1, first Sunday, 2024. I believe the Lord has a word for us here that we can take into this new year of 2024. 2024, more and more. That's just come to me. Let's read. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, he prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Amen. If you've read the little magazine that Barbara does so well, you would have seen Judy's lead article there, and she makes reference to the verse that we used last year, which was, thank you, Lillian. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. It was just something that Judy said. Am I living to that? Am I trusting the Lord? Are we trusting the Lord? And she went on to talk about being obedient, not to sin, but to trust in the Lord in 2024. That word, of course, has no limit. We can use it any year of any era. But this year, I want you just to think of one verse that we find in verse 2 that we've read together. And this will be our verse, I believe, for 2024. Delight in the word of the Lord and meditate on it day and night. The word says here that whoever does this will prosper. Will prosper. We want to prosper in 2024. I don't mean financially, or that might be the case, but to prosper in our spiritual commitment to serve God no matter, to pray for one another, to support one another, to pray for healing, to pray that God will move in our midst, and to be, as it were, a light in this dark place as we look forward to 2024. Delight in the word of the Lord and meditate on his word day and night, and you shall prosper. That's the promise. And that's what we're going to hold on to in this year. It's interesting that throughout the Psalms we read the law of the Lord, but of course it does mean the word of God. It's not just the first five books of the Old Testament. And Psalms, I love Psalms. We just sung one, As the Deer Pants for the Water. Remember when we were in ministry at Stow-on-the-Wold, where the winds blow cold. And my goodness, don't they blow? I'm glad I'm not up there at the moment. And I used to get my tambourine. I haven't introduced my tambourine to you yet, but when we get some more upbeat music, maybe I will. And I used to just take a psalm and sing it with my tambourine, just in the church on my own. And it was a wonderful experience. I was really, really off tune, but I would just make up a tune as I sang a particular psalm, not Psalm 119, because that's got 176 verses, but maybe a psalm like this, and just sing it and confess it and confessing. And you know, there's something about something deep inside here starts to awaken. Because I think the Psalms are good for the soul. And I'm sure that in days past, when they sang these psalms, that their soul was lifted, they were encouraged as they considered the wonders of God and know that in him that they would have the strength and the courage to face each day. So Psalm 1, if we had a tune, no doubt we could sing it, but for the moment, make up your own tune when you get home. I'm sure that'd be nice in your household, wouldn't it, Keith and Bill? But I would say that the more we direct ourselves to the things of God, the more we are directed by God himself. And my goodness, how we need to be guided by God in 2024. And it's interesting that the psalm makes it very clear of two categories that are very obvious here. First of all, the righteous, those that know God, those that have come to know Jesus as their Savior, and the wicked, the ungodly, those that would continue to refuse to know God. In other words, the saved and the unsaved. Those that know they are saved speak as Jesus as Lord, and those that are unsaved, maybe as we read in 1 Corinthians, that the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Amen. And these two categories kind of highlights the ministry of Jesus. When he spoke in Matthew 7, we read these words. Jesus says this, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that lead to destruction, and many, many enter it." And how we see that today. "But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only five few find it." Notice that, the road that leads to life. The Christian life is not easy. And 2024 will not be easy. But I believe it will be a blessed year, because the psalmist says here, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked." That word blessed, we've been talking in our Bible studies of the Beatitudes, and that word blessed, to be happy, to be envied, to have a sense of well-being. And I think that's so important as we face 2024, is to know we have that sense of well-being, that God is for us, who can be against us. And I think some people start a new year with good intentions, but they have bad distractions. And I said this previously here in years past, we're not looking for New Year's resolutions, but New Year revelations. And it's revelation that will move us from where we are into what God wants us to be. And that our delight is in the law or the word of God. We were visiting fans or even family. Are they fans? Yeah, they are, most of the time. And we went to see our daughter in Bristol yesterday, and on her bookshelf was a book, "This Book Shall Change Your Life." And I said to her, "What's this book all about?" I don't know if anyone's got it, but it's one of those many self-help books to consider how what you eat, the exercise you take, how to look after yourself in 2024. And I thought, well, if this that book changes your life, what about the Bible? Does that change our lives? It transforms our lives. It makes us see life differently. Somebody said that this book, which is a book, this psalm, which is about conduct, "Do not walk in the counsel of the wicked, do not stand in the way of sinners, or sit at the seat of mockers," is can be used in other ways too. It could be the way we think, the behavior that we have, And that sense of belonging. The ungodly don't have any of that. Those outside of Christ don't have a mind that is a mind that is thinking about Jesus, or considering the way they behave and consider their lives, or in that sense of belonging that we've spoken about this morning. It's unique in the body of Christ, that sense of knowing who we are in one another. And we don't look at one another as if you are different. You just see yourself as God does. And I think that's wonderful. This book changes our lives. I mean the Word of God. And for the righteous who delight in it, who love it and meditate on it, will prosper. And it just reminds me that, in a sense, where we see these comparisons between those that are with God and those that are outside of God, it says in Romans 8:7, the mind that is sinful is hostile to God. But Paul says in Philippians, that lovely verse that we've read many times, let this mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ. Let that mind be in you. And I think some of the testimonies we've had this morning indicates that the mind of Christ is reshaping one another's lives. It's about having the right attitude to God and to one another. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, Paul says in Romans 12, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This book, the Word of God, will transform our minds to the point we see life differently. That we don't say, well, how are you? Well, I'm all right, bearing under the strain. We certainly don't mind, we don't say, well, I'm fine, because that's not always the case. But we know that we have that assurance from God's word that he is with us and he is for us. And what struck me when I was reading this, it says in verse 2, but his delight is in the Lord. And that word delight, I wonder what you delight in. If you're watching Gloucester Rugby at the moment, you're not delighting in that very much. But it may be your football team, or it may be something that you delight in, you cherish, you value. There's nothing like it. That's what that word delight means. You look forward to it like a holiday. Oh, what a lovely thought that brings. But to delight in God's word, I think it's just looking forward to getting stuck into it. It's looking forward to spending time in it. It's looking forward to turning off the television and spending time in. I nearly said turning off Strictly Come Dancing, but I know that might offend one or two of you. But you know what I mean. Making most of every opportunity and really getting into God's word. It's not straightforward, I know. But we believe the Holy Spirit would give us revelation and understanding of what his word is saying. I love what Peter writes. And of course, when Peter was writing his letter, it was towards the end of his life. And he was getting some very important facts over to those that were he was writing to. And he says this, like a newborn baby. And if you know what I mean, a newborn baby who craves pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now, when we see the image of a baby, if you can remember, some of you way back, I know one or two of you don't have to look that far back, but a baby doesn't apologize. It just, if it's hungry, it will want its milk. At any time and anywhere. You can be sat in Costa now and see babies having their daily portion. Not Costa coffee, but you know what I mean. Anywhere, any time. I know that Smith Wigglesworth, who was a great man of faith, he would read the scriptures every 15 minutes. Wherever he was, he would stop and read the Word of God. I know I've been involved in mission before, and I've traveled a little bit in Africa and India. in the past and how they just love just a portion of the scriptures, that some of them, that's all they've got. It's just one portion of scripture and they just love it because they see that it's better, it's offering a better life than what they have. Now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. For the word of God is living, it's active, it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Maybe that's difficult at times, you know, when our minds and our hearts are saying one thing and wanting to go in one direction, and we read something and we find, my goodness, I don't think that's the right thing to do. God is showing me something different here. Not just to delight in it, the psalmist says, but meditate on it. We're having a conversation just the other day with other family members that live in Chippenham. And we had time with them on, whenever it was, this week. And I was asked the question, how many stomachs a cow has? Well, of course, it's not the sort of, we were eating steak at the time, but how many stomachs does a cow have? Does anybody know? It only has one stomach, but four compartments. I Googled it, and Google must be right. And I was thinking about when a cow doesn't, it just grabs hold of the grass, doesn't it? I mean, with its mouth. And then, of course, it gurgitates through the process, through the digestive system, and it brings it back up and it chews it over and over to bring out the goodness of what it has taken in. And I think that's what meditation is like. If you find when you're reading the Bible that it's too much to take in, I believe the Lord would just call us to take hold of a verse. One verse, maybe Romans 8:28, for we know that God works all things together for good to those who love him and accord according to his purposes. Maybe that verse, when you are facing a real trial, a real challenge, for God works all things together for good. You see, that word prosper really does mean that God will work good in those situations. That God will bring about his goodness and his promises in that situation. It may not change the situation, but you will know God's goodness and God's faithfulness in that situation that other people wouldn't have. You see, the word of God conveys the will of God, not the opinions of others. And there are so many voices out there today. There's even celebrities that move away from that which they are celebrity of, speaking on issues that they really don't and shouldn't say. How sweet are your words to my taste, the psalmist said, sweeter than honey in my mouth. And there's more. He or she is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. The tree, as a metaphor, is used widely in the scripture. It's quite a common thread when we talk about the tree. And we know, it's quite a nature lesson this morning, that a tree gets its moisture from the root, through the roots, and it gives sustenance to the tree and the fruit that the tree bears. And I believe that meditation on the Word of God, not just reading it. Somebody I read about the other day said he's read the Bible many times and hasn't really affected them. Well, of course it won't. It's when we really meditate on it, when we really allow it to work in our souls, that it begins to work with us and for us. And so we meditate on the word, and we are like a tree planted by streams of water, that water that is feeding the roots, feeding the tree, bearing the fruit. And you know, I think in 2024 that God wants us to be fruit bearing, to be bearing much fruit. Now that doesn't necessarily mean to have the church full to overflowing. It might be. But fruit is that sign of maturity, that we've grown in the maturity of our faith. That, as I said just a week ago, that there will be those in our midst that will want to share a word that God has spoken to them as they've meditated on it. And I'm going to encourage that, and we will encourage that in days to come, because this is not just a one-sided affair. It's the body of Christ encouraging one another. And maybe God has a word, gives you a word that you would want to share 1 week, and that would be great. Because once we hear our own voices, we become more relaxed as we do so. And then it says here, and here's the contrast, not so the wicked, not so the ungodly, those that would laugh at what we're doing here today, those that would see that it's just a waste of time. Less than 50% now of this nation calls themselves Christian, and even a lesser percentage attend a church. There are many people, and some friends of mine, that haven't returned to church after COVID. They found a new thing to do on a Sunday. They found something else to fill their minds. And how easy we can lose our way when we lose fellowship. We often make this metaphor, don't we, or this analogy of the coal coming out of the fire. What does it do? It just smolders and then it dies. And the body of Christ and fellowship together is like that those burning coals heating off one another and sharing with one another. Keep on keeping on. Keep the fellowship going, friends. Keep our prayer times alive as we have them, and there's one tomorrow at 2. Do join us for those times. They're lovely times, they're powerful times. We have a great chat and a cup of tea as well. No wonder the prayer meetings go on. We talk more perhaps at times. But anyway, that's beside the point. And all these things I think are very important for maturing the church and bearing much fruit. Not so with the wicked. That word wicked means those that are restless, those that are unstable, those that are dry. You know, when somebody is dry, when they haven't that sort of sense of sustenance from God, they fill it with all sorts of things. And they're momentary things. They last for a moment. And they're burnt up. They're just dry. Things that they have, things that they've done. Even for some, as they embark on a new year, Christmas is gone. What next? The drudgery for some, and maybe for others, something far worse, sadly. I believe this psalm sets the course for us in 2024. It shows the contrast between those that are saved and unsaved. And it means that we should be praying for the unsaved. Those that are dry, those that are unstable, those that their lives are being blown around by all sorts of issues and opinions of others, to really seek God on behalf of them, so that this time, God willing, DV, in 2025, that we can celebrate with others that were at this moment and no longer are not with us. So 2024, people of the Word of God who meditate on it day and night, people who prosper in their faith. You know, faith comes from hearing, and we hear from the Word of God. So we're not looking for New Year's resolutions, but New Year's revelation. I want to leave with you the little book of Jude. If you've got your church Bible with you, you'll find Jude, the last but one book of the New Testament, just before Revelation. And I'm just going to read from from this particular version so that we're all in agreement here. And these early verses just sum up what I feel for 2024. Dear friends, although I was eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. That word contend means to fight for faith. I believe that's what the church's mission is generally for 2024. We've got to fight for the faith. We've got to fight for the faith, to hold fast to what we believe, and to know that God's word is true in a world that says it's just another form of writing. And as we go towards the end of that, do read that little book. Read it today, tomorrow, this week. Meditate on even. And as we come to verse 17, it says this: "But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold." This is prophetic. "They said to you, in the last times," and we're in those times now, "there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit." We need to be very aware of those that we mix with, of those that we spend time with. "But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith," notice that, most holy faith, "and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh." And this lovely verse that's often used at the end of a service: "To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore." The people of the Word of God. May that be our motto as we face 2024 together. Let us pray. The psalmist said, "I have kept your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." May that be for us, Lord, this coming year. There will be times of temptation. There'll be times of fear and doubt and worry and anxiety. But Lord, we pray that your word would burn in our hearts this 2024. That it will be a light for our pathway and a lamp for our feet. May we be a people of the Word of God, that we might meditate and discover the truths in it to enable us to go forward by faith in Christ Jesus this year and forever, we pray. Amen.